Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Searstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, December 8th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, it's beginning to get a little bit exciting. It's getting to be a little like Christmas.
Yep, that's it.
Oh, was it just last year where we whistled for Christmas, or was that the year before?
No, that was you. That
was the year before.
Whistling for Christmas.
Was
Didn't you have
before?
A contest last year or something about
the,
whistling for Christmas?
That was the year before. You were in Oregon.
I don't remember, but it's still the memory. I don't remember the exact year, but the memory of you whistling, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, is still seared into my brain.
Is it really?
Yes, I've been traumatized. Probably have to talk to people, see if Obamacare will cover kind of
trauma,
psychic trauma, psychological trauma,
whistling trauma.
We'll see.
I didn't think I whistled that bad, but anyway, let's get on with the market.
Somebody called the FCC. We were almost shut down over that, Melody.
Well, today is a day to whistle because gold is up currently in the New York spot, up 1260 at 1206.70, up 1260 at 1206.70. Silver up 11 at 1650. Platinum up $15 at 1236, and yet palladium down $2 at 804. USDX today is trading down 0.26, although it was up earlier in the day. The dollar hit a 7-year high against the yen and hit a 2-year high against the euro today. But then it had a little bit of a reversal, and all of that was supposedly temporary due to Friday's U.S. jobs report, which, you know, whatever. And so the USDX today down 0.26 at 89.09. Crude oil took a beating, 2.81 at 63.03. I think this is the first time it hit 63. Was it 09? I do believe.
Yeah, it's 5 years.
Yes,
I
sir.
I saw a report. It's a 5-year low right now. So the last time it was this price was 5 years ago.
And the Dow today, the paper markets, looking at 105 points, 17,853. The NASDAQ down 40 at 47.
105 down.
105 down.
Yep.
At 17,853, the NASDAQ down 40 at 47.40, and the S&P down 15 at 2060, 10-year yield down 0.05 at 2.26%. So, you know, it was an interesting day in the markets. You had some reports come out on overnight news, you know, these downbeat economic reports. You have China. Their exports rose by 4.7 in November, which was well below their expectations for a gain of 8.0%. That was almost in half of what they were expecting. Their imports were down 6.7% versus expectations for a rise of 3.9%.
That's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's an enormous difference.
Yes.
We're not just talking about it's down from the anticipated 8 and they got 4. It's down from the anticipated 8, if I heard you correctly, and it is, I didn't say that right. It was not just 8, they were up 4 rather than 8. That's not what's happened, if I'm understanding you. They expected 8, and they're actually down 4. That's a swing of 12%.
Yes, so it's huge. You also had Japan. Their third quarter was reported at a minus 1.9%, which was below expectations, of course. And so now you know Japan is now in an economic recession. The European Central Bank said the weakening of the Eurozone economy has been massive. This official Ewald Nowotny said that today. And,
but you know, Watney.
What you know, Watney? Ewald. Ask Ewald. But
where's Ewald? That's what we should have. We should have a book about where's Ewald.
Where's Ewald?
Yeah.
But Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, not to get confused with OCD, but the OECD, said today that Europe was already weak in economic growth, and you're going to see further slow, and you're going to see it continue to slow in the coming months. And, of course, they're expecting.
You know what I'm interested in, though?
What is that?
Will it continue to slow? In fact, that's probably true, but will our expectations continue to slow? You know, it's interesting that the reports we have they take on special weight because they expected a gain of 8% and they got a loss of 4%. There's something about these expectations that are interesting to me, and I'm wondering whose expectations are these and how come the expectations are wrong? I mean, it's not unusual for the expectations to fail. Which indicates that the people that are expecting, and I don't mean women having babies, but these people that are expecting what's going to happen in the economy, they are either not very good at guessing what's going to happen next month, or they're intentionally lying to us in order to try to build confidence. Oh, it's going to be great. Next month's going to be just spectacular. We expect it's going to go by 8% or 10% or who knows, maybe even 50%. You know, I'm exaggerating to make a point here, but there's something strange about a system that relies on expectations. Why don't we just report what happened last month? And then when this month's over, we'll report what happened this month. And the month after that, we'll report after the month is over. Then, and I'm wondering, do we need these expectations, Melody? I don't suppose we can help having them, but how much credibility should we give them?
Well, I mean, the markets were always, I believe, a view of the future, you know. So, you know, they were, you know, it is a matter of expectations of what is to bring. So, you know. But when you have a market that's manipulated to the degree, and when the world is tuned into, I mean, the world revolves around confidence, you certainly can't report it any other way. I mean, it has to be upbeat expectations, or, you know, the whole system would collapse. And it's really that simple. It would collapse. You can't come out and say, well, you know, you know, until it actually happens.
Well, that's
and then, of
partly
course, then when it happens, then they can, you know, then they'll report on it.
But. They can pretend to be surprised, but one thing about it would be this. If we announced, if Janet Yellen, for example, announced her expectation.
She's been quiet.
Yeah, basically. But if she were to announce her expectation that the economy was going to fall by 4% next month.
The market would fall by 10.
I understand. Everybody jump in. She's got to cheerlead and essentially say, oh, it's bound to come up. We're going to, they've got to do that to some degree in order to maintain sales. Now, there's nothing unusual about that. I mean, that's just part of human nature. You've got to look at the sunny side and the rest of that sort of thing if you've got something to sell. That's true. But still, I don't think we're going to hear of any expectations. We expect the market to fall by 4% unless the real likelihood is that it's going to fall by 8%. The expectations are going to tend to be rosier.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We're not going to exceed expectations. We very often, I don't doubt we will once in a while, but more likely to fail to meet expectations.
Well, there's another central bank that is looking to repatriate their gold reserves, the National Bank of Belgium, in an interview with VTM News Sunday. Luc Collin, governor of Belgium's central bank, confirmed that the bank, actually, they're just looking at how they can bring their gold reserves back into the country. And according to the IMF data, compiled by the World Gold Council, Belgium holds 227 metric tons of gold, which represents about 34% of its official foreign reserves. Most of that gold is held outside the country with the Bank of England, the Bank of Canada, and the Bank of International Settlements. You have Axel Merck. He's an investment officer, said that the global instability is on the rise, so it's not surprising to see governments and central banks who want more control over their reserves. And he also says it's not as simple as it sounds. In the global marketplace, moving gold reserves is more than just a transfer of the metal from one location to the next. And what he said here I found interesting. He said that neither central bankers or politicians know how to handle physical gold. They're just used to doing leases and contracts. And he says London, London does have the experience to store gold safely. And of course, we all know about the Germany, which made their headlines after it announced that the central bank would want all of its gold held in Paris, about 300 metric tons of gold from New York. And of course, they backed away. You also saw the Netherlands, the Amsterdam, where they repatriated back some of their gold to Amsterdam from the U.S. You even had on November 25th, you had France. They sort of jumped on the bandwagon after political leader Marine Le Pen wrote an open letter to Neuer, which is the governor of the Bank of France, requesting that the country's gold holdings be repatriated back to France. So you certainly are seeing more and more signs from the central banks want to see their gold back. And an interesting comment I saw was you can actually see higher lease rates in the long term as more physical gold is bought by Asian consumers. And, of course, that is reducing the amount available in the global gold market. So everybody wants their gold except the people of the United States.
Yeah.
They prefer to be in paper. They prefer to be in the stock market. They prefer to ignore all the signs that tells them they need to hold gold and silver in their portfolio. But
and they're not just in their portfolio, but close at hand. What
oh,
we're
absolutely.
Seeing are nations
absolutely.
Are saying, I'm
give
not going to trust
yeah.
my gold to some yep. foreign country. I want my gold where I can get my hands on it right now. France wants France's gold. Germany wants Germany's gold. They want it in Germany. That indicates that they distrust the stability of the international community, commercial community, in a sense. They say, look, you got to take care of yourself right now. It is a lesson that might be followed by people in this country. They can sit back, look, if they're doing that in Europe, It doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad idea for folks here in the United States to also say, you know, it'd be a good idea to have some gold around the house.
Do you know what it tells me also? It also tells me here you have the global elite, the central bankers, who want their gold back into their homeland. So why are they requesting that? Is it just because they want to have their gold? Or perhaps they see in the future they won't get it. It will be not just having it at the Federal Reserve and the Federal Reserve is saying, no, you can't have it back. But perhaps the system is so broken they won't be able to transport it back. Maybe the transportation system. Maybe there's concern that there's no way they'll be able to bring it back into their country.
There's also concern,
whether it be by war or whatever it might be.
There's also concern, I would imagine. They know that they can't necessarily get their gold back from the United States. The list of countries that you read that were holding Belgium gold, mm-hmm. I didn't hear you say United States was in that list. I heard three countries. I don't remember which ones they were, but I heard three countries that did not include the United States, and maybe I just didn't hear it. But if it's true that they're not trying to get the gold back out of the United States, it may be also true that they are thinking about Germany's example that they can't get the gold from the United States. They are beginning to suspect the gold has been leased or sold or it's gone one way or the other, and the Federal Reserve and or the United States government doesn't have the gold that it claims to have. And if they don't, who else is also falsifying their gold supply?
Well, I think that's a big part of it, but also I was just adding to the point that perhaps the ability to move it, maybe they see something in the bigger picture to where they will be unable to transport it. But you did look to Belgium. They have their most of their gold is not with its Bank of England, Bank of Canada, and Bank for International Settlements.
Well, you know, when you talk about the inability to transport gold, mm-hmm. the only way that's likely to make sense is in the midst of a war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, gold is metal. We can move pig iron all over the country. If we have to move iron, we can move steel beams and the rest. But it's not as if we don't have the trucks or logistical capability to move masses of metal. It can be done. No big deal. Unless, of course,
there's a war.
Somebody was anticipating a war.
Exactly.
Under those circumstances, and they said, better get the gold home before somebody claims it disappeared. And when the bomb went off over, you know, in wherever in some foreign country, say, golly, you won't believe this. That bomb just, your gold just disappeared when the bomb went off.
Well, that's how I believe a lot of gold came to the U.S. was because it was to keep it from, you know, the Nazis from taking it and so forth. But that's
not just the Nazis, but especially the Russians.
The Russians, that's right, the Russians.
World War II. Europe was afraid that the Russians were going to invade. They wanted to protect their gold, and they didn't think the Russians would invade all the way across the Atlantic Ocean to the United States. So it was.
So the U.S. steals it.
Yeah, we can trust the United States on this. You can't trust the Russians, but we can trust the United States. The Russians might steal. I don't know. In retrospect, it's just so bizarre. It's so stupid. It's just laughable at times. What's the lesson? The lesson is when it comes to gold, you better figure out a way to hang on to it yourself. Because everybody wants it. And even the people who profess to be honorable, right? Dress up in a three-piece suit and the rest, that sort of thing, wear a vest and monocle, and they appear to be honorable and distinctive and all of this. Look, when it comes to gold, if you're smart, you're going to keep it dear. You're going to hold it yourself. And this also goes to the idea of people who've been arguing or pitching the idea of storing your gold in some foreign country. Because to prevent it from being confiscated by the United States.
You
the
think
foreign
they...
countries are getting all their gold back, and they don't trust the other foreign countries.
Yep.
Why should we? You know, it's unfortunate. And on one level, it's kind of sad, but you really do have to, you want it, you got to hang on to it yourself.
And for people to think there's a safe place in the world, look at the Swiss. You know, central bankers won, you know, the referendum, so... We'll be back, Al. We're going to break.
We are.
Yeah.
Okay. Financial Survival, Melody Cederstrom, Al Addis. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Just an announcement. If folks want to place their orders for 2015 Silver Eagles, we are taking orders for those. Of course, they won't be released until January. The first and second week of January, so it always is
a little bit of a backlog. Yeah, okay, you're taking orders.
They're actually being sold right now for the same price as 2014s. 2014s would be sold until they are out of inventory. But right now, until there's any changes from the Treasury on those 2015s, which I really don't see a change in premium, maybe not at this point in time, because we know the Mint had already been producing 2015, so they have some in inventory already. So I wouldn't see a premium unless there's, you know, a massive, massive rush to get the 2015s. And January is always a big month for Silver Eagles, but mainly because you can't get them in July. So it all just kind of...
In July?
I mean, in December. In December. So, you know, there's always that backlog. So I don't, you know, we'll just have to see and changes can happen. But right now they're being sold for the same price as a 2014. So it's a good time if you're looking to lock in. And I saw online this one company, oh, we've got the lowest price of Silver Eagles online. And it's like, no, they don't. Discount Gold and Silver have the lowest price than any company in the country. And so if they have the lowest price online, then I would have to say that Discount Gold and Silver truly has the lowest price online because we beat their prices. They were like $350 for Silver Eagles.
You're talking about a premium over spot.
A premium over spot was like $353. Mm-hmm. And they entice people in by saying, well, you can get them for as low as, like $250 over spot. Well, that's just not true unless you're buying thousands and thousands and thousands of them, and most people aren't. So they get you in there, and people think, oh, yeah, well, I'm buying the lowest price online, on the Internet. Well, you're not. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And you can listen to the programs that are archived there on a daily and monthly basis. Now, there's a lot of talk now. We have the debt there are lawmakers. They're finalizing a bill, a spending bill, $1.1 trillion that would fund the government until September. We know that the funding for the government expires on December 11th, which is only a couple days away. And so now they have this $1.1 trillion spending bill that would fund the government until September, covering everything from trucker safety to battling Ebola. And this is the main piece of business they want to take care of course, before they adjourn this week for the holidays. And, of course, the Republicans will take over the Senate when the new Congress reconvenes next month. And so this measure would fund the government, and it would avoid a government shutdown on Thursday. And it includes renewing the government's terrorism insurance programs that's eagerly sought by construction industry. Interesting. There's a one-year renewal of a package of expired tax breaks for both individuals and businesses, a defense policy measure that renews the Pentagon's authority to train Syrian rebels to battle Islamic State militants. You know what? They really should let the government close down on the 11th if they're funding all this stuff. I mean, it really is amazing now.
It would make for a wonderful Christmas for all of us. I might even forget about that pony if they could just shut the government down until sometime after the first of the year.
But this defense policy measure renews the Pentagon's authority to train the Syrian rebels to battle Islamic State militants who control Iraq and Syria, aids to negotiators on the terrorism insurance measure, said a deal could be close.
What makes them think that they're going to be able to train Syrians to fight any better than they were able to train Afghans to fight any better than they were able to train Iraqis to fight? It seems to me that the most effective fighters in the Middle East are the ones that are probably motivated by some religious principle and or jihad. And what our government does is teach these people how to fight as secular warriors rather than holy warriors. And I just they don't have the same level of motivation. They're just, and it may be that they are spiritual, but they're not inclined to take, I'm not going to risk my life to fight this thing for the United States or for whatever it is the United States represents. I don't know. It's just, if you're going to fight holy war, you have to fight on a spiritual basis. If your opponent is engaged in holy war and you think you can defeat them based on principles of secular war, I think you're mistaken, unless you can just flat out kill every one of them. Yeah, if you can kill them all, you can win. All right? But these holy warriors are not going to stop. You may be able to drive them back in a corner periodically and they shut up and you don't hear from them for a while, but it's not long before they are back. And it puts an incredible strain. They'll fight, I don't know, you know, they're robbing. They're not fighting without any money at all. I understand that. But they're not money motivated. They're not doing this just for the cash. Makes them a very difficult adversary. And particularly if you are only secular and you only fight secular. I've told this story probably, I don't know, five times on the program before, but Black Jack Pershing, I believe he was a colonel at the time. He's the guy that they named the Pershing missile after. He was in the Philippines fighting Huks, who were Muslims back around the turn of the century, 1900, 1910, in that neighborhood. And he stopped. He stopped the Muslim insurgency by simply captured something like 20 Muslim warriors at one point in time, lined 19 of them up against a wall, shot them with bullets that everyone could see had been dipped in pig's blood, and then buried them in a trench and covered them up with pigs and trails and pigs guts and the rest of that sort of thing, and left one Muslim to tell the tale. And they just turned him loose. Go home. Get out of here. He went home, told everybody, look, they're going to, you know, if we fight these people, they're going to kill us with pig's blood, and we will not go to paradise. And this is not a small story. This is important. It indicates that the Muslims could be stopped. All of these holy warrior Muslims, they can be stopped right now by simply putting hollow core bullets in your rifles and make sure that hollow core is packed with pig's blood. Dried. All right? They get shot, they die with pig's blood in them. Under the terms of their religion, they're not going to paradise. You could build your bombs and your hand grenades and anything else with some sort of shrapnel that was made in part ceramic that was mixed with pig's blood. You die from the bomb, you're going to die with pig's blood in your body. You're not going to paradise. It is criminal that we don't employ this strategy because it stops the whole war. All of a sudden, the holy warriors don't want to fight if they're not going to paradise. If you're going to deal with holy warriors, you've got to fight on a spiritual basis. You can't stop these people with tanks and bombers and fighter jets. You can hurt them, but you aren't going to stop them until you fight a spiritual war. They're fighting a spiritual war. You fight a spiritual war. They use their faith as a foundation for great determination, dedication to wage their war. Their faith also creates their weaknesses. Their faith gives them an Achilles heel. All you got to do is slosh some pig's blood around and they split. Huh? And why we're not doing that cannot be easily explained except from the perspective that there are people in government, they want the war. They want the holy warriors to keep fooling around because they want to keep sending American soldiers over there to fight some stupid, frivolous war for reasons that are not easily understood here in the West. Why are we there? What are we doing? What do we expect to win? You want to win it? Fine, get some pig's blood. You don't even have to kill people necessarily. All you got to do is say, we've got pig's blood. You're going to die. You aren't going to paradise. They quit. That's all. Why aren't we using pig's blood, Melody?
I don't know.
Nobody does. But it's there, cheap, could be done, save a lot of lives. You know, make the threat and everybody quits. That's all.
I know there's a pig blood joke in there somewhere, but anyway. What I found
interesting. It's not funny to the pigs, Melody. It might be a joke to some of us, but it's not funny for the pigs.
I'd like to find out a little bit more about this. I mean, I understand there's insurance and so forth, but you have the construction industry that is eagerly looking for the insurance program to be passed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, you know, it ensures their safety while they're making billions of dollars.
Profits. They don't care about the safety.
Yeah,
they care about their profits. And what they're saying is if we make profits off this construction, we're going to keep the promise. We're going to keep the profits because we're very smart.
So
but if we lose money, we're going to put the losses on the dummies, the taxpayers. We're going to let the dummies pay the losses, and we'll keep the profits.
So if you follow the money, the reason why they don't use pig's blood, that's one of them. That's one of them. And what's amazing is here you have aides to the negotiators. There's actually negotiators on this deal for this terrorism insurance.
Yep.
And, I mean, it's like, who are these people?
Same ones that are negotiating for a deal where the derivatives right now, the people pushing derivatives, they want them to be guaranteed by the American taxpayer. If they make money off of it, they keep the money for themselves. If the derivatives blow up, we'll let the taxpayers pay the losses.
Yeah. What a deal.
You know, just insanity. Right. And the American people said, buh, 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 buh.
That's a derivative.
I don't know. You know, it sounds okay to me. No one even seems to mind.
Uh-uh.
They're going to hold. If they make a fortune, you get none of it. If they don't make a fortune and lose money, you are held responsible for their losses. You know, the American people ought to just stand up and say, what the heck are you talking about? We're not going to protect all these damn fools. This goes back to banks too big to fail.
Yep.
This is, they start with banks too big to fail, not derivatives too big to fail, not construction companies too big to suffer a loss if something happens here, or too big, or they don't want to pay their own insurance against terrorism. If you want to do it, do it. Everybody has this idea that the taxpayer has to be held accountable, and you know, one, you can't look at it without wondering, do these people anticipate there's going to be big trouble?
Absolutely.
It's not just a situation where you say, well, it would be good if we could get somebody else to pay our insurance because, you know, you never know, something might happen. Is it, well, you never know, something might happen, or is it, we think something's going to happen and soon, and we've got to get the responsibility away from ourselves, and we've got to get Joe Sixpack. He's making so much money right now, and happy days are here again because employment is increasing. How many jobs did we create, Melody?
317.
Was it 300 or was it 300 million? I don't remember. You know, let them pay their own insurance bills. Let the banks be responsible for their own idiotic procedures. Let the people that issue derivatives and depend on derivatives, you who profit by the derivative, it is absolutely only right that if push comes to shove, those who profit from the derivatives also suffer the losses from the derivatives. All right? And it's completely wrong that some people who are just barely trying to get by, living hand to mouth. What did we say? We had this back.
$400.
Yeah, $400, something like 40% of the American people, if there's an emergency that costs over $400, they have to sell something or borrow the money in order to pay. They don't have $400 cash. It was something like 40% of the American people. It might have even been 60%. I don't remember the number anymore. But it's a substantial portion of the American people. And these are the people they want to hold responsible for the banks too big to fail, for the derivative market, which is too big for anybody to pay, and now the construction workers want to get in there. Well, I want to get in there too, Melody. We need to talk to the people in Washington about guaranteeing that we don't suffer any losses from the radio program.
All right.
If anything happens, power went down, like power went down my home today. I wasn't even sure if I was going to be on the program. We need compensation from all the people out there in radio land.
And it's going to snow. I want compensation because it's going to snow in case we can't get to the office. Yeah.
That's right.
Weather related.
If we have an excessively cold winter or an excessively warm winter, either one, if it's not just right, you understand?
If they can have the Goldilocks stock market, we ought to have the Goldilocks insurance.
All right, we're going to take a break. And unless there's something wrong with my clock, Frank is trying to accelerate the break. He's starting the music about 20 seconds early. There's going to be a price to be paid for that, Frank, but we'll get the taxpayers to fund it.
Let's go.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, we're just going to finish up what we were talking about the spending bill. And the part that really kind of just gets to you, the Appropriations Committee, aides, they decline to furnish details. But the perimeters of the measure was taking shape after the
negotiations. Now, this is details about the construction industry that if they suffer any losses, they want the public to pay the freight on it.
Yes.
How about if they make a profit, they also, okay, we'll pay if you suffer losses, we'll pay for the losses. But if you make a profit, you deduct that from your bill.
Well, they're declining to furnish details on all parts of this bill as for this spending bill. And the legislation would also finance the day-to-day operations of every cabinet department. It would provide the more than $5 billion to Obama's to combat Ebola, both at home and, hey, we have to help those abroad, too.
Oh, I understand.
To fight it. And to provide more than $70 billion to conduct overseas military operations, including funds to fight Islamic State extremists. However, the bill does freeze funding for core government accounts at slightly more than $1 trillion, but the total cost will approach $1.1 trillion after war funding and emergency money. What they're freezing is the environmental regulations. So they're cutting back on the EPA's budget, dropping it below the 2010 levels. Also, the IRS They're also bearing more budget cuts.
Good.
So their staff has shrunk by 13,000 since 2010. And the trucking industry is on track to win a provision blocking new hours of service, which means they would have to require, the rules were requiring that they had to sleep two nights before they could start a new work week, so forcing them into a five-day work week. And so there's some little minor things. And the Pentagon's budget is essentially capped at the current levels despite rising costs for major weapon systems. That'll just go off budget. You know, that's, you know, what they do.
Hard to say, though. They really are in a financial bind, and that's part of the implication here. They are in a financial bind, and because the economy is slowing and we have a large number of people that are unemployed, tax revenues have to be down.
Yes.
All right? Now, how are they going to pay for it? If they can't pay for it with tax revenues, there are only two options that I'm able to see, and one of them, you know, if they can't cut the price of the projects in the first place, but assuming they keep things at the same price and they spend the same amount of money, they either have to borrow money to make up for however much tax revenue has been lost to a slow economy, or they have to dig into savings. And when you stop and think about it, and you sit and you say to yourself, well, the government? Dig into savings? Where does the government have any savings? Well, I didn't necessarily mean that they would dig into the government's savings, although that might happen. I meant they're digging into any savings that they might find close at hand. For example, government employee pensions. We know they've been robbing, looting the Social Security Fund for most of my lifetime. The money that you folks have paid into Social Security, and you think that, oh, it's in a little account, they're keeping it for my retirement. No, they're not. That's been spent. They gave that to the government. That was dumped into the general revenue just as soon as it came in the door, and the government gave Social Security a piece of paper with a promise to pay. And my understanding of the Social Security Fund right now consists of a couple of rooms full of filing cabinets that are stuffed full of these paper promises to pay from the government to reflect however much they take every month from Social Security. All right, every month, every quarter, however often they do this. Insofar as they've taken the funds out of Social Security and there's nothing left but government bonds, and we have to sit back and wonder, gee, do you think they'd do the same thing if they could control other pension funds, like the pension funds for government employees? And the answer has to be yes. Of course they would. Would they take the money out of your bank account? Assuming things got really difficult, would they recognize a moral line or say, well, we can't take the money from the people? You think they'd do that? I would be skeptical. I don't think so. The government could spend not just out of the public savings, not just out of the government employees' savings and the pension funds, not just out of Social Security. They could spend some of the government's own money insofar as the government was selling off our national treasury of gold, which allegedly runs close to 8,200 tons. It's less than that. I think it's 8,144 tons is what they think is in the national treasury, which hasn't been audited, my understanding, since 1953. Hasn't been audited for half a century. But we can trust the government. You all know that. We can certainly trust them to tell us straight information on how much gold is there, and they'll even give us a Boy Scout salute and say, you can trust us. We're honorable men. We work for the government. Well, maybe so. Maybe they are honorable men. I am skeptical. Maybe they're honorable. I don't necessarily believe that. But if they would take the money out of Social Security, is there a moral reason why they would not secretly sell the gold out of the national treasury? And what's going to happen if and when the government finally can't find any more savings to loot? What happens then? Or what happens if and when the American people find evidence that they have been looted, not just in their Social Security, but in their government pensions and in the national gold treasury and so on. What's the public going to do when that happens? Of course, the public isn't going to know this. We can talk about it right now, but nobody cares unless we get to a point where government has to admit, oops, we don't have any money for Social Security. Pretty funny, huh, Melanie? You'll never believe it. You'll never guess what. We're also out of all the money we had for government pensions. Isn't that something? And then there's the gold treasury, and that's gone too. I doubt that people are going to do much about this until they are personally injured in a way where they realize, oh my gosh, the government has betrayed our trust. And that's unfortunate and sad, because it means that we won't stop these people from taking those savings unless something terrible happens. We're going to sit here and say, oh, we'll trust, oh, we'll trust you, oh, we'll trust you. You know, so in any case, the evidence Melody was talking about, how much money they're putting up for the budget, and they're actually restricting some spending, and it's evidence that they're having a problem maintaining solvency, and it has to be that way so long as the economy's down and unemployment is up. There's not as much tax revenue, which leaves them with borrowing, which is being restricted. They cut the American credit rating from AAA to AA+ back in 2011. Other nations, China has declared that it will not increase the amount of U.S. funds that it holds in its foreign reserves. They haven't said they won't take U.S. dollars, but they're not going to increase the pile that they've got. And what that pretty much means is when they take dollars right now, they're not going to add them to their foreign reserves by buying U.S. treasuries. They're going to take those dollars and run out and buy something else, and in most cases, it'll probably be gold. Right? By doing that, they indicate that China is cutting off credit to the United States. They didn't say that they were going to dump all their dollar foreign reserves. They haven't said that. But what they have said is that they will not increase U.S. dollar foreign reserves. And what that essentially means is China's cut off credit to the United States. The credit rating going to drop by Standard & Poor's from AAA to AA+. That restricts our access to credit. And the Federal Reserve tapered quantitative easing, and it stopped in the last month or two. And what that was is the Federal Reserve was effectively buying whatever bonds the government was printed up and wanted to sell. And when the Federal Reserve said, no, we're not taking any more, they also said, we're not giving you any more credit. Now, the government hasn't completely run out of credit, but China's not giving them credit, and their credit rating is down, and the Federal Reserve is restricting their access to credit. At the same time, tax revenues are falling, which means the government is caught between the rock and the hard place right now.
And now, you know, they're reporting more and more that there's a lot of stuff in this spending bill, but they won't know until January or February. And I just saw a comment about, I mean, it's just like, what is wrong with these people?
Well, it worked so well with the Patriot Act.
Pretty much.
That before they voted for it. And then Obamacare, that was another one, as Nancy Pelosi said, you got to vote for it, then you find out what's in it. They're apparently using the same strategy on this funding. You got to vote for it, then you'll find out what's in it.
But here you have the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell. Things are going to be better. Things will be better. Meanwhile, he's pushing to attach a rider that would end limits imposed on coordinating spending between campaign committees and candidates. Now, with the country and the condition that it is, that is his You know, this is what he's trying to push through to attach a rider. And you have the National Priorities Project, which tracks federal spending. They said we would watch it with great concern because of the fact that it would open the door to special interests having more influence over all federal policy and certainly the budget than they even do now. So, again, you know, when people say, oh, Republicans are in there, Republicans, is it going to make any difference?
No.
No,
it isn't.
And this
is sample prime. Wrote an article back a couple of weeks ago when the Republicans are coming in and they're going as if they're going to do something about Obamacare. I'll believe it when I see it.
They're not.
As if they're going to do something about immigration in particular. Republicans want illegal immigration just as much as the Democrats do, although for a different reason. They don't want to stop the illegal immigrants from coming into this country. And they're not going to do anything, in my opinion. We'll watch and see. Maybe I'm wrong, but we'll watch and see. I don't think they're going to do anything. They may do something, but I don't think it's going to be much, and it won't be particularly effective if they do.
So, you know, it's the same old, same old. The whole point is we don't have the money. The country's in trouble, and, folks, there's only one place to protect your funds, and it's gold and silver, because – you know, things are not getting better, and this is just another sign of the times. People in Washington, they changed faces, but they're the same people, and they do the same things. I just wanted to bring this up, if let's move on, and I know you wanted to talk about hackers. But there's a developer of a $750 million natural gas pipeline from Pennsylvania into New York, and they are threatening to seize land from reluctant landowners through eminent domain. Now, this pipeline. there was a letter obtained by the Albany Times Union tells the landowners who have refused to sell right away for the Constitution pipeline. And we kind of had to chuckle at that, you know, because here they're threatening.
They got
to
rub our nose in it. It isn't enough that they rob us of our land. They've got to rub our nose in it by calling a constitutional pipeline and essentially a constitutional robbery. It's one of those things where, my gosh.
And what's funny is it's designed to bring cheap shale natural gas from Pennsylvania into the higher price markets, of course, of New England and New York. So it's a 124-mile pipeline that would be operational by next winter. So, again,
but
I mean, it's
a question as to whether or not the shale industry is going to hold
be
together.
Together that long.
I know. We're going to have a pipeline, the Constitution pipeline, or we might call it the Constitution boondoggle, to move shale oil that we don't even have at prices, what, $60 a barrel?
Mm-hmm.
Reports I've seen indicate they need $100 a barrel just to break even. They're not going to be pumping any shale oil through that pipeline.
But a lot of these pipelines that have already
not
been
at these
built,
prices.
A lot of these pipelines already built through the you know, through Nebraska and so forth, that are supposed to attach itself to the Keystone Pipeline. They've all taken people's lands and restrictions. They've been placed on the landowners through eminent domain just to build these pipelines. And you really don't hear much about that. You know, you don't hear about the fight that these people have had to keep their lands. And pretty much a lot of them have lost. Mm.
You know, there's reason for eminent domain, and it's not. I'm not.
I don't think it's for
this,
pipelines. No.
Yeah, that's what this comes down to. I'm not even sure that what's happening. Eminent domain is when the government can seize the land for government projects. I don't know that this pipeline is a government project. All right, they can seize the land to build a dam, to control the rivers, whatever. I get that. All right, that's reasonable. But when you're seizing land for a privately owned pipeline, what's that? Whatever it is, we're going to have to talk about it later because we're out of time, folks. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow, as I said. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, be Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.